It's a very newsy edition of Initial Reaction. Welcome, everybody, one more time. I'm J.R. Radcliffe from Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers, joined by...
J.P. Knorren with Spectrum Sports and Newspapers. Just kidding, we don't have a newspaper, but if I did, it would probably be pretty awesome.
It probably would be pretty awesome. Just more vehicle to get your content, hashtag content, out to the world, JP. That's exciting. So there are some developments. There's some developments, JP, both in your life, definitely in my life. And we have an announcement of sorts. I don't know if this is going to be considered breaking news or anything like that, but this is the final edition of the Initial Reaction podcast. JP and I are splitting up. We're divorcing. We are never going to deal with each other again for now. Yeah, until something better comes along. What do you think? You think we're getting back together sometime soon? A reunion tour?
It could be. It could be once you once you move downtown. Maybe we just get like lunch every week and we just chat.
Oh, we could be friends IRL.
Maybe it's initial reaction of the food that we just ate.
That sounds like a podcast everybody will listen to. I'm really excited. So there's a few reasons for this. One is we have had, as you may have noticed, fewer and fewer podcasts in recent weeks. Just a little difficult at the Now Newspapers. We are transitioning down. We're going to be moving downtown to the Journal Sentinel office. We have cut back over the last year or so, or 6 months anyway, in staff, in kind of the operation. It's changed quite a bit, and it requires a little bit more work for sure, which is a good thing, but it definitely leaves less and less time for stuff like this. I know, JP, you've got a similar thing going on at Spectrum Sports. It's just a busy, just a busy life. So it's getting harder and harder. Be honest, there aren't that many people that listen to us. They're a devoted fan base, and we love them. We love every single one of you who click and check us out on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you found us, but probably not enough people to justify the continuation of our beloved little pet project, which, if I recall, had a name before we even knew what we were going to do with it. Like, we have to do something and call it Initial Reaction. I don't know what it is, but we're going to do something, right?
Agreed. And you've diversified yourself enough now. You have Facebook Lives where you can get these thoughts out. You're doing everything under the sun, it seems, where you have your venues to spout off. I'm doing radio now pretty regularly as well. So a lot of the thoughts that we have here are just kind of recycled from elsewhere.
And you can definitely find us on Twitter, where we keep an active presence. I am at J.R. Radcliffe. He's at J.P. Cadorin. It's pretty simple. J.P.C.A.D.O.R.I.N. And J.R. Radcliffe is exactly how it sounds, except there's an E on the end. Don't forget the E. But also, J.P., you announced to the internet, not to me personally, and I'm not the least bit hurt about this, but you announced to the internet that you have some personal stuff coming up too, right?
Yes, I have a severe conflict with the Packers winning their Super Bowl this year. If they want to go ahead and delay the Super Bowl by like 2 weeks, I think I'll be done with paternity leave at that time. But otherwise, we have a baby coming in this family again that's really going to mess stuff up.
That is, once again,
more
going
than one.
yes, going completely against my advice to never have more children. You have completely resisted the things I tried to teach you. And you are going to have a second child. You've got almost 3-year-old as it is. And certainly I know what that's like. I got a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old. Though, JP, they're both going to be in classes at least part-time this year. There's actually going to be a point in my week where I am at home with no children to take care of.
Oh, that's why I value high school football season so much, is because Friday mornings are mine. They're
just
mine.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I actually even like Friday nights when I go to football games, and they're not fully mine because I'm working, but it's like I can go wherever I want. I could theoretically just drive to Illinois if I wanted. Not that I would do that, but if I wanted to escape, I could. I have that freedom.
Morning.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Sit around on a campground doing nothing.
Hop on up to Wausau, show up to somebody's lake, and be like, it's okay, I'm going to leave shortly.
It's good. I have kids. You understand, right? So lots going on in the Cadorin household, in the Radcliffe household, in our respective work environments. And now there will be less of us in your earbuds on your daily commute. But thank you for listening to us. I really appreciate. I know there was a lot of interest in what we did. Got a lot of really good interviews over the years. A lot of really good topics. I thought I had so much fun doing this podcast. I am going to miss it for sure. I think the amount of work or the amount of changes we've been going through, I sort of don't even think about the podcast as much, which is probably a good indication that that it is time to maybe give it a rest and see. Maybe down the road we can pick it back up, but there's just a little too much to keep this going at this point.
Yeah, and as the driver of the podcast, if you don't think about it, that means something's wrong, because let's just say you are adamant at times.
That's right. I am the driving force. You are the pretty face. Still has not worked out in the podcast environment like I thought it might. But that's okay. Yeah. So anyway, let's give a little bit of a thought as to what's going on in high school football before we sign off for an eternity. The week two of the football schedule is upon us. We're recording this on Friday. Probably a lot of those outcomes will be in the bag by the time you listen to this. But we have seen a full week of football already. There weren't too many surprises in my estimation, but there were a couple eye-opening things, or at least interesting things. And then came the second week, Thursday night football, Arrowhead against Muskego at Arrowhead. We've talked a little bit about Arrowhead having a quote-unquote down year last year when they went 5-5, even though all five losses came by single digits. And Muskego, which started the year 0-4 last year and got eliminated out of playoff contention by September 23rd, then they actually bounced back, won their last three games. Well, oh my goodness, Muskego is back. Because they roll up 50-plus points on Arrowhead. They crush them. It's a running clock the entire second half. It's the worst loss I know of in Arrowhead history. Now, I'm sure there was one back before the year 2000, but in sort of recorded modern history, certainly since the merger, they have not lost that badly before. They've had a few 35-point losses, but nothing like that. So a real stunner. And I know Muskego is good. They certainly were never, I never thought of them as less than that, but they are bona fide Classic 8 conference title contender in a league that already has like four title contenders. What a showing for Muskego.
So you had your boy Andrew Grumman there, correct?
Indeed.
Do you know, and I read 75% of his article before I had to go, like, do you know, is this one that just like got away from them? Or like, is Muskego like actually, I can't do math, 44 points better?
I would say I watched it, and honestly, they were unstoppable. I don't know if that means there were just some, because this game was over so fast because they scored, I want to say, on every one of their possessions in the first half, eight of 10 or something.
Their first nine possessions, it was eight touchdowns and one field goal.
Yeah, and I mean, it was just, it's not like Muskego is going to complicate things. They run, you know, the same basic offense that they always run. They just always have like three or four ball carriers. They can really rack up yardage. I mean, they could not be tackled. They were just tremendous. They'd give them, you know, every time they handed the ball off, you expected a first down. And you know, they've got that. I mean, Justin Katarik and R.J. Bosshart, two of the guys who were racking up big yardage. Both of those guys are on the 4x200 state championship relay team last year. So was Sam Scholes, who had an interception in this game and set up another score. They had a couple of quick turnovers that kind of in rapid succession that helped them pile up the points. I mean, it was jaw-dropping. Like, are they 44 points better in another game? I don't know, but like, I don't see a scenario where Arrowhead can beat Muskego. Like, I think Arrowhead did look a little disorganized. Didn't look like they could. They were very good at tackling, and Muskego just made everything work. They were just amazing.
Yeah. All right. So what does that mean now?
I think the Classic 8 is reimagined in my head. I like Waukesha West still.
Because Arrowhead beat Marquette in week one, which that was, you know, a heavyweight battle that kind of signified that maybe Arrowhead is back.
I know, and now you look at it and you think, well, maybe Marquette is just down. And I did think that. I thought both Marquette and Arrowhead were not seen as, I think they're seen as maybe the third place finisher in their respective conferences. I think Arrowhead legitimately is going to struggle to maintain its playoff streak. Because you look at, so I was talking Waukesha West, they had to hold on for dear life against Kettle Moraine last week. I think Kettle Moraine is up big time. That signified to me that Kettle Moraine is going to be tough for anybody to beat. Waukesha West I still think is really good. Catholic Memorial is the defending D3 state champion. I mean, I think at some point you have to say, those are going to be tough games for Arrowhead to win. And then on top of that, you then have to beat Kettle Moraine, Oconomowoc, Maguanago, Waukesha North, Waukesha South. Okay, so you only need to win four of those games. And they probably still will, but it's going to be pretty difficult. I think we could be living on the edge with Arrowhead here late into the season.
Yeah, I mean, and so CMH beat Maguanago week one, right?
Big time, yep.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to think of like what the winnable games are. And like you and I know, like Waukesha North was good last year. Waukesha North beat Arrowhead last year. I think they just got on the playoffs. But they're a team that's probably a playoff team in any other league. I mean, it's really tough for everybody, though. Like, I don't think anybody's going through there. Maybe Muskego feels pretty good, and I'm sure Catholic Memorial feels pretty good. But other than that, like, none of these teams are feeling like good and guaranteed. Arrowhead's just lumped in with a pack of seven other teams then.
Agreed. I mean, I think Waukesha North had a very special senior class last year. I'd be surprised if they were able to maintain that pace, but I should say surprised, but not shocked. Waukesha South had an amazing first week in a loss in terms of yardage against Oconomowoc. You know, I think South has a ways to go, but this Grayson Cooley, who threw and ran for more than 200 yards apiece, I mean, he's a weapon, and I think he's going to surprise some people. That team might surprise people. It's hard to really know where Oconomowoc is at. They struggled against Brookfield Central in week two. They lost 28-0, couldn't get their offense going, but, you know, it's Greg Mauling. Like, he's going to figure out a way to turn that offense around. He's had experience doing that, so I'm not particularly worried about them either. I don't know. I still think Arrowhead probably has four wins in there, but just four wins. I don't know if I could guarantee that they would get more than that.
Yeah, I just enjoy talking about the Classic 8. I'm sure it's because I went there, but I enjoy the Classic 8 and just how good the Greater Metro is now. Like, talking about Marquette being the third best, like, Brook Central looks really, really good so far. And Brookfield East can be, obviously, defending state champ, could be really, really good too. It's like those two teams and Marquette is just, it's such a good conference. Then to have, so last week, I bounced around to four games on Friday afternoon and evening. It was, normally I just go to one and call it done. But I went to four different ones, and I watched the entire second half of Germantown against Menominee Falls. It was just really entertaining. Like, I think Germantown could be really good because Falls looked awfully good, and they ended up beating them by seven. So to think there's all those teams now in the Greater Metro, there's just a lot of good football in those two. And it's weird to me because the SEC, the high school SEC, Southeast Conference, used to be kind of one of those premier conferences back when Bradford was really, really good with not only Melvin Gordon, but Trey Waynes, Gino DiBartolo, one of my favorite quarterback names ever. you know, Bradford is really good. I remember my first year of covering high school in 2008, Racine Park was really good, with probably one of, like, my favorite running backs ever in Deion McClain. I don't think he ended up going to college, but he was so good. And that whole conference used to be good. Obviously, Franklin has been the standard bearer lately, but it used to be where there were, like, three or four really good teams. Racine Horlick used to be pretty good. I think they had another win last night. Yeah, so it's interesting that I think maybe – I don't know who took over for the SEC, because I don't know if the Classic 8 or Greater Metro were ever down, really, but – those two have really established themselves lately.
Yeah, I agree. And now they're matched up as crossover opponents all for every year going forward. And that's it's perfect because you're going to get a lot of intense rivalries built across the conferences, and you're gonna wind up with some very competitive, some very good teams not making the playoffs really because they're going to be in the bottom half. And though there are probably more playoff berths available to those teams because they can now get in with a 4-4 record, whereas previously you had to win 4 of 7, you now basically have one more chance to win enough games to get into the playoffs. So I do think the redistribution of getting the little 10 spread out to all these different conferences, it does create opportunities for the GMC and Classic 8 to get more of their powerful teams into the playoffs. We'll get to see some of these teams that we've said in years past could have done some damage if they could have just gotten through their own conference. Well, some of those teams are now going to get into the playoffs, and we will get to see for sure if they could do some damage outside of the Classic 8 or the Greater Metro.
What's your other team to watch so far? A team that, I don't know, impressed you, or even if you haven't seen them, you still like what they can do?
Well, let's go back to the Southeast. I mean, Franklin, we've picked to win that conference, maybe get back to Camp Randall-Madison, and they put up a really good first week against Waterford. But Oak Creek, unbelievable. I mean, yeah. Wisconsin Lutheran, I think, might be a little bit down this year in their first year of the Woodland, but Wisconsin Lutheran is still a brand, and I would have expected a pretty competitive game with Oak Creek, which I think is probably anywhere between the number 2 and number 4 team in the Southeast this year. And Oak Creek wins 48-0. That's impressive. They had one guy, the name escapes me. It's Joe something. Sylvester. I don't remember. But he had a two fumble recoveries, returned one for a touchdown and an interception in the first half alone. They had a bunch of big offensive numbers. I mean, they are obviously pretty good. And I can't wait to see Oak Creek meet Franklin because I think that's going to be a little bit of a Donnybrook. I'm excited.
Yeah, that was my third game of the night. It was supposed to be my final one, but when it was 27-0 in the first quarter, I said, okay, I can move along here. It was Oak Creek's first play from scrimmage was a 68-yard touchdown. Wisco's first yard from scrimmage was a fumble that Oak Creek returned for a touchdown. And then Wisco punted. Franklin or Oak Creek scored again, and then there was another fumble that they turned into a touchdown. So it was just – it was a snowball, and it didn't stop either. So it just kept going. So, yeah, they looked awfully good. I still think Wisco is going to be just fine, especially in the Woodland Conference, where they're going to be one of the better teams for sure. But, yeah, Oak Creek was really impressive too.
Yeah, in the Woodland, you can't count out the depth. That's, by the way, Joe Martini that I could not remember there. But
same thing.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I had an S name in my head there. But the Woodland West is interesting because of their front four. You've got Wisconsin Lutheran. Now, New Berlin, Eisenhower, and Pewaukee are scheduled for a really big early season meeting in week two, Friday night, as we record this later tonight. And then Greendale, I thought, showed very well in week one when they took Badger to the absolute wire. I mean, they were winning that game. It looked like they had that game. And Badger rallied back. Badger did the old don't tackle the guys. He's about to score because you're still going to get one last crack if you do move. Because Greendale was up 1 point. They scored with 1:55 to go. And the Badger guy, I don't know if he actively let him go, but it looked like he sort of backed off. They missed the extra point. It got blocked. So it's a 7-point game. And Badger comes down, they score, they go for two, they win with 44 seconds left. So that was a heck of a showing for Badger, but for Greendale, I mean, that's a team that went to Badger went to level four in the last two Division I playoffs, so like for Greendale to have them on the ropes is good already, and I think they're going to be a pretty good team too.
Yep, Badger against Kenosha Bradford tonight on Spectrum Sports.
Ooh, yes, for those of you listening today, check that out. That's good.
See what I did there?
Extremely good cross promotion. That is what we've always done well here on the Initial Reaction podcast.
Correct.
So I don't really have much more to say, JP. I think the Brewers are about where we left them. They're kind of just hovering there, not necessarily doing anything great, but not necessarily completely falling out of it. The Packers are still deciding who's going to be on their roster. I kind of don't like the 90. I'm missing that round of cuts that comes earlier in the camp. Yeah, because now there's just so many names still, and I don't even, like, somebody will mention a name, and I'm like, I didn't even know that was a Packer. So, still, it'll be interesting at the end when there's just this flood of talent out there, how that affects what goes next for most teams. But not really into the Packers yet, even though the Badgers start September 1st, which is less than a week away at this point, I still have not really spent a lot of time thinking about that football team. So I think this is it, JP. I think this is all we have to say.
I love you. Does that help?
Yeah, that's a lie, and everyone knows it who listens to this. So no, we're not going to get sentimental on you people. We know we'll leave you as you found us. So JP, any last thoughts about the Initial Reaction podcast? May it rest in peace.
Nope. I know I'm going to see you around. I know I'm going to see everybody else on Twitter. And I know that we got a good high school season to look forward to. And that's all I know.
That is also all I know. I really appreciate everybody who was interested enough in what we had to say. And hopefully there's going to be a lot of changes with our newspaper operation, for those familiar with that. Not going to do a lot of game story coverage. Going to do more feature angles, broader stories, fewer stories, and bigger stories are kind of what we're going for. So hopefully you guys bear with us. And I know there are a lot of people that are disappointed by it. And there's definitely some adjustment for us as well. But hopefully people stick with us and can find all of we're pretty passionate about this stuff. We love this stuff. So hopefully people will stick with us and find out all the stories that we uncover here in the weeks ahead.
Beautiful. I look forward to still reading. Don't worry.
I know you will. You favored a lot of my tweets, JP, mostly so you can go back and read them, not because you like anything I tweet.
Busted.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, good luck having a second child, even once again, yes. Though you ignored my advice to stay with one child. You're a fool, but
I won't be coming to you for tips. Don't worry.
I know. I'm not a very good dad. Not at all. So,
cool. All right. Stick to sports. How's that?
Sounds good. Hashtag stick to sports. Thanks again, everybody. And we will catch you in some capacity down the line.
Bye, friends.